I've got an iPhone, and I'll admit it, I couldn't resist downloading this particular application. Yeah, somebody wrote a piece of software that lets you swing your phone around and make the sound of a Jedi lightsaber. Not very useful, but totally fun for a minute or two. Another goofy application I tried was this. This app is called the Ocarina. To use it, you blow into the iPhone's little microphone and music, sorta, comes out. Angela Frucci is a keyboard player in California who thinks that iPhone Ocarina is more than just a gimmick.
Lauren Steele is kind of a celebrity of the moment. She made a video of herself playing the iPhone Ocarina and posted it on YouTube under the name Hard Rock Girl.
My first instrument was the trumpet, and as a wind player, there's definitely something very magical about being able to play so expressively using your breath. And I think that's really what the big appeal of the ocarina is, wow, they actually got this really hokey sounding thing to actually work, and they did it very well.
Her song was Storms from the Legend of Zelda video games. And the video she put up on YouTube has upwards of 100,000 views.
And I still daily get emails from fans of both The Legend of Zelda and iPhone owners. I've gotten marriage proposals.
She's also had some "Will you have my baby?" proposals. iPhone owners just can't resist a redhead who knows the theme to a video game. In the world of iPhone apps, the digital ocarina was a hit when it came out last year. You know when you're on the phone and you kind of blow into it and you hear that shh sound? Well, a company called Smule figured out a way to take that shh and turn it into... The screen gives you four finger holes, and as you press down on one or more of them, a ripple appears on the screen.
The fingerings are all the same as an actual ocarina, and you can control the dynamics with your phrasing and with your playing.
The co-founder of Smule is a man named Gu Wang, and he's a man of the future. To play the ocarina, he wears speakers on his hands. They're sewn onto golf gloves.
So the speakers I'm wearing on my hands are actually wearable speakers that we're building for the Stanford Mobile Phone Orchestra, otherwise known as MOFO, spelled with a PH.
I had my doubts about whether the ocarina could sense the human touch, so I asked Gu if he could play expressively for me.
I can try.
You didn't wake up one morning and say, you know, cell phone, you're talking to it, why can't you play it?
Instead of saying, I want to make instrument X and put it on the phone, we looked at the phone first and saw, hey, what is this phone most capable of doing, you know, for us?
One of the things that makes the ocarina popular is that it has a social component to it. So you switch modes and you go into global, what is it called?
We sometimes call it the world listener.
If you press this little globe on the screen, you see a visualization of the Earth with white points of light. Each point of light is an iPhone that has been used recently to play the ocarina. Using an iPhone's GPS chip, the Smule servers can track ocarina performances.
You actually can hear, one by one, other people playing the ocarina from around the world and see where they're doing that.
Smule just released a new application, kind of like the ocarina. You still blow into the mic of the iPhone, but you also slide your finger across the phone screen to get an instrument like this. It's called the leaf trombone.
You always have the danger of going just a little bit out of tune.
Like the ocarina, the leaf has a social component. You can submit a leaf performance to a virtual world where people listen and rate your performance in the form of emoticons and smileys.
You know, we at Smule are really trying to bring this idea of unlocking creativity to as many people as possible.
In other words, he thinks the ocarina encourages amateurs who might not otherwise pick up an instrument. So far, he's impressed by people who have posted their own scores.
The online score forum of musical scores have grown from 5 to now over 1,200. These are all generated by our users.
But I'm not alone in worrying about the GPS aspect of the ocarina or other GPS-enabled devices. It tells strangers anywhere on the globe exactly where you are, It's very big brother. Last year, the Egyptian government told Apple if they wanted to sell the iPhone 3G there, they needed to disable its GPS. They thought it could be used by terrorists to target things like military bases. Even a man of the future like Gah thinks twice.
It certainly scares me to no small extent. I think any new technology or new combination technology is kind of scary because, candidly, I wonder about, as a human race, humanity, whether we have ultimately the wisdom to protect ourselves or to make good use of technology always.
But even for a stodgy, old-style musician like me, worried about privacy, worried about people losing the feel of real instruments, I must admit, the sound of the ocarina is happily hypnotic.
I would like to think of it as maybe setting the conditions right to nudge people to becoming more creative and to connect with people in new ways that hopefully doesn't replace, but rather enhance or extend the relationship with others.
For Studio 360, I'm Angela Frucci.
We're listening to The Mentalists using nothing but iPhone applications, performing the song Kids by the band MGMT. Do you happen to make music or any other kind of art with your cell phone? If so, tell us about it at studio360.org. And that is it for this week's Studio 360. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you listen again next week. Studio 360 is produced by PRI, Public Radio International, and WNYC. Our production team includes
Julie Burstein,
Vital Malad,
David Krasnow,
Michelle Siegel,
Derek John,
Jenny Lawton,
Pike Malinowski,
John Delore,
Amanda Aronchik,
Alana Harper,
Kelly Sullen,
Matt Frassica,
Annie Minoff.
Our theme music is by David Van Tegum.